welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering. This is a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in the spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Now let's continue our worship in hymn number 458 from the hymnal supplement. And just a reminder, the links to the words of this hymn are on our website on the Follow the Meeting webpage.
Though I may search the deepest books, companion with the wisest men, God's loving voice still calls to me. It bids me turn and look again.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. Well, we've just sung hymn number 458, and the other two hymns are 416 and 52. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible, as well as correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, who is the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. We'll start with the Bible, as I said, and starting with the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show you the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Belteshazzar answered and said, My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. At the same time, my reason returned unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. Now from Genesis. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now from 1 Samuel, Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And it came to pass that when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And the next few selections are from 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now from the Gospels of St. Luke, St. John, and St. Matthew, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they'd fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And finally, from James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, I'm going to read from Christian Science textbook by Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Whatever furnishes the semblance of an idea, governed by its principle, furnishes food for thought. Through astronomy, natural history, chemistry, music, mathematics, thought passes naturally from effect back to cause. The late Louis Agassiz, by his microscopic examination of a vulture's ovum, strengthens the thinker's conclusions as to the scientific theory of creation. Agassiz was able to see in the egg the Earth's atmosphere, the gathering clouds, the moon and stars, while the germinating speck of so-called embryonic life seemed the small sun. In its history of mortality, Darwin's theory of evolution from a material basis is more consistent than most theories. Academics of the right sort are requisite. Observation, invention, study, and original thought are expansive and should promote the growth of mortal mind out of itself, out of all that is mortal. When darkness comes over the earth, the physical senses have no immediate evidence of a sun. Astronomy gives the desired information regarding the sun. The human or material senses yield to the authority of this science, and they are willing to leave with astronomy the explanation of the sun's influence over the earth. If the eyes see no sun for a week, we still believe that there is solar light and heat. Science, in this instance named natural, raises the human thought above the cruder theories of the human mind and casts out a fear. A picture in the camera or a face reflected in the mirror is not the original, though resembling it. Pictures are mentally formed before the artist can convey them to canvas. The picture is the artist's thought, objectified. The human belief fancies that it delineates thought on matter, but what is matter? Did it exist prior to thought? Matter is made up of supposititious mortal mind force, but all might is divine mind. Thought will finally be understood and seen in all form, substance, and color, but without material accompaniments. The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his conception. We are all sculptors, working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Sound is a mental impression made on mortal belief. The ear does not really hear. Divine science reveals sound as communicated through the senses of soul, through spiritual understanding. Mozart experienced more than he expressed. The rapture of his grandest symphonies was never heard. He was a musician beyond what the world knew. This was even more strikingly true of Beethoven, who was so long hopelessly deaf. mental melodies and strains of sweetest music supersede conscious sound. Music is the rhythm of head and heart. Mortal mind is the harp of many strings, discoursing either discord or harmony, according as the hand which sweeps over it is human or divine. Mind is not necessarily dependent upon educational processes. It possesses of itself all beauty and poetry, and the power of expressing them. Spirit, God, is heard when the senses are silent. We are all capable of more than we do. The influence or action of soul confers a freedom, which explains the phenomena of improvisation and the fervor of untutored lips. Whatever inspires with wisdom, truth, or love, be it song, sermon, or science, blesses the human family with crumbs of comfort from Christ's table, feeding the hungry and giving living waters to the thirsty. The science of music governs tones. To be master of chords and discords, the science of music must be understood. The true logos is demonstrably Christian science, the natural law of harmony which overcomes discord. Not because this science is supernatural or preternatural, nor because it is an infraction of divine law, but because it is the immutable law of God, good. Jesus said, I knew that thou hearest me always. And he raised Lazarus from the dead, stilled the tempest, healed the sick, walked on the water. Jesus of Nazareth was the most scientific man that ever trod the globe. He plunged beneath the material surface of things and found the spiritual cause. Thus he found the eternal ego and proved that he and the Father were inseparable as God and his reflection, or spiritual man. Our Master gained the solution of being, demonstrating the existence of but one mind, without a second or equal. The definition of I, or ego, divine principle, spirit, soul, incorporeal, unerring, immortal, and eternal mind. The petty intellect is alarmed by constant appeals to mind, to measure intellectual capacity by the size of the brain and strength by the exercise of muscle, is to subjugate intelligence, to make mind mortal, and to place this so-called mind at the mercy of material organization and non-intelligent matter. Literary commercialism is lowering the intellectual standard to accommodate the purse and to meet a frivolous demand for amusement instead of for improvement. Mortals are egotists. They believe themselves to be independent workers, personal authors, and even privileged originators of something which deity would not or could not create. The creations of mortal mind are material. Immortal, spiritual man alone represents the truth of creation. When mortal man blends his thoughts of existence with the spiritual, and works only as God works, he will no longer grope in the dark and cling to earth because he has not tasted heaven. Carnal beliefs defraud us. They make man an involuntary hypocrite, producing evil when he would create good, forming deformity when he would outline grace and beauty, injuring those whom he would bless. He becomes a general miscreator who believes he is a semi-god. the inverted images presented by the senses, the deflections of matter, as opposed to the science of spiritual reflection, are all unlike spirit, God. The verity that God's image is not a creator, though he reflects the creation of mind, God, constitutes the underlying reality of reflection. Absorbed in material selfhood, we discern and reflect but faintly the substance of life or mind. The denial of material selfhood aids the discernment of man's spiritual and eternal individuality and destroys the erroneous knowledge gained from matter or through what are termed the material senses. Divine science contradicts the corporeal senses, rebukes mortal belief, and asks what is the ego, whence its origin, and what its destiny. The ego man is a reflection of the ego God. The ego man is the image and likeness of perfect mind, spirit, divine principle. The one ego, the one mind or spirit called God, is infinite individuality, which supplies all form and comeliness, and which reflects reality and divinity in individual spiritual man and things. Let us accept science. Relinquish all theories based on sense testimony. Give up imperfect models and elusive ideals. And so let us have one God, one mind, and that one perfect, producing his own models of excellence. Man is the reflection of soul. He is the direct opposite of material sensation. And there is but one ego. We run into error when we divide soul into souls, multiply mind into minds, and suppose error to be mind, then mind to be in matter, matter to be a lawgiver, unintelligence to act like intelligence, and mortality to be the matrix of immortality. Mortal existence is a dream. Mortal existence has no real entity but Seth at his eye. Spirit is the ego which never dreams but understands all things, which never errs and is ever conscious, which never believes but knows, which is never born and never dies. Spiritual man is the likeness of this ego.